Morning, church.
Good morning.
You need some water. So I invite you to open your Bibles, please. Psalm 46. The psalm is thanks for how you sung this beautiful song. Yeah, it was beautiful. This psalm is a song of confidence that strengthened, you know, Martin Luther in his struggle against the Catholic Church and inspired him to write this hymn we just sang. Just as it strengthened Luther and countless believers throughout history, today I want to strengthen your soul with this truth. Next. If you are taking notes, please write down this summary. We are secure not because we have control or understanding. We are secure even though we are weak, imperfect, and short-sighted. We are secure for one reason. Because God sustains us in the midst of the world's collapse, and He fights the battle for His people. Therefore, He will be exalted among the nations. For that reason, we do not fear and we keep silent. That's the summary of this beautiful psalm. Vivint, next, ADT brings home, Cove and SimpliSafe are home security companies that offer day and nighttime 24/7 cameras, window sensors, smoke detectors, smart locks, and more. In the same way, there are all kinds of security systems we look to in our lives. Perhaps you look to your investments, tracking their growth and imagining the future they promise. Or maybe your security system is your relationships. A circle of loving and competent people around you. Perhaps your security system is the body of Christ. You value solid preaching and fellowship, yet the church on this side of eternity remains imperfect. Perhaps your security system is actually you. Your confidence, plans, and successes. Or maybe you have no security system. And your days are marked by concern, fear, overthinking, and constant self-doubt. That's what Psalm 46 wants to show us. The world's best security system. It isn't to be found horizontally as you scan all the potential places where security can be found. Deep and lasting security and a sturdy rest for hearts and minds can only be found vertically. Next. So if you take notes, these two are the points of this sermon, verses 1 to 7. God is our fortress because He does not collapse. And 8 to 11, God fights the battle for His people. Therefore, He will be exalted among the nations. But what does it mean that God is a refuge? It's not something straightforward, right? But the parallelism here in verse 1 The second part of the verse 1 explains it. An ever-present help in trouble. Robert Alter, an Old Testament scholar, translates it, a help in straits, readily found. The point is, God is easily found in the midst of problems. Easily found. I love Christianity because it does not center on what human beings do to reach God, right? But on what God has done to come near to us. The emphasis is not on us. Not on my obedience or performance. That is why Christianity is good news, not good commandments, right? Good news. He came. He is easily found. It depends on God who is an ever-present help. A God who is readily found, who came to be found by weak and blind people as us. Paul said in Athens, he is not far from any one of us. And Paul adds in Colossians chapter 2, for in Christ all the fullness of the deity lives in bodily form. So God became present in our lives fully in Christ through his Spirit. Therefore, verse 2, we will not fear. So another question is, what does the psalmist not fear? Verses 2 and 3. Please read your Bibles. Though the earth give way, though the mountains fall, though its waters roar and foam. This is not a description on magnitude 3 earthquake in Jerusalem, right? In Chile, we have a lot of earthquakes. Maybe not Jerusalem. These are hyperbolic, poetic images that reflect the real conflict. Yes, it's a real conflict mentioned in verse 6. Nations are uproar. The likely historical background is the Assyrian siege during the reign of Hezekiah. 2 Kings 18 and 19. The king of Assyria mocked Judah and Jerusalem specifically. Verse 19, on what are you basing your confidence of yours? So the people remained silent because the king Hezekiah had commanded, do not answer him. Chapter 11, finish like this. That night, the angel of the Lord went out and put to death 185,000 in the Assyrian camp when the people got up the next morning. There were all the dead bodies. So we cannot be absolutely certain this is the context. But it is absolutely plausible that is the context. For example, John Calvin wrote, this opinion is readily admitted because it accords most with the whole scope of the psalm. Likewise, we can state totally that this world is not functioning as it was designed to function. We are living in a world that is groaning, waiting for redemption. No moment in our lives exists untouched by the fall, pain, and suffering. Therefore, we should not be surprised by pain, opposition, problems, sin, or fear. So the question becomes, how does God offer refuge and help in such a world? How? And the Psalm gives us two answers. Next. His presence and His word. Look at your Bibles, verse 4 and 5. There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy place where the Most High dwells. God is within her. She will not fall. God will help her at break of day. In times of war, next, cutting off a city's water, next, supply was a strategy to force surrender. This is why Hezekiah built an underground aqueduct, the Siloam Tunnel. You can read it in 2 Kings 20, Chronicles, and Isaiah all mention it. This aqueduct is an ancient engineering marvel. It was discovered in 1838, and you can visit it in Jerusalem today. It's like 1.5 kilometers. And you can walk by 30 minutes. The psalmist used the image of water to show that even when the people is under a spiritual and cultural siege, God's people have fresh water that sustains them. And notice the contrast. Verse 2, the mountains fall. Verse 6, kingdoms fall. But verse 6, she will not fall. The world collapses, but the city of God stands forever. Another contrast, the waters roar, verse 3. The nations roar, verse 6. But God helps her at break of day. So every kingdom in history has fallen. We have some pieces of rock, or not too much. And also will fall. United States is not the city of God. It looks like, but it's not. No political or economic system can be our security. And brothers, from this side of the cross, our ever-present and readily found help is God revealed fully in His Son, Jesus Christ. Next. Therefore, Hebrews 4, since we have a great high priest who has ascended into heaven, Jesus, the Son of God, let us then approach God's throne of grace with confidence, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us. To help us. Verse 1. in our time of need. So God does not necessarily want to take us out of our problem, right? No. Grace and mercy are what God offers us as a refuge. Grace and mercy are what God offers us as a refuge. And it's what we need in the midst of this world, in our time of need. Grace and mercy from the throne of God. Wow. Boom. And second, His word. His word. Verse 6. The second way God gives refuge and help is through His word. Verse 6, He lifts His voice, the earth melts. It's another hyperbolic image. In my house, my wife Maka lifts her voice and the family melts. Yes. Youth, here, youth, listen. Who or what melts you? The world lifts many voices. That's true. That promise refuge and happiness. But they are fake news, are false. Only the voice of God is true, able to melt and bend our will. That's beautiful. We can't bend our own will. That's the gospel. He came. He gave us His word and melt our will to Him. Good news. For example, Psalms 111 says, "Blessed are those whose ways are blameless, who walk according to the law of the Lord." How can a young person stay on the path of purity? By living according to your word. Verse 14, "I rejoice in following your statutes as one rejoices in great riches." And Psalm 18, "As for God, His way is perfect. The Lord's word is flawless. He shields all who takes refuge in Him." So now, verses 8 to 11. Next. As we summarized earlier, we are secure not because we have control or understanding. We are secure even though we are weak, imperfect, and short-sighted. We are secure for one reason and one reason alone. Because God sustained us in the midst of the world's collapse. Now, in verse 8 to 11, God fights, as we sang, the battle for His people. Therefore, He will be exalted among the nations. And we keep silent. The focus now is no longer on His character or what He provides us, his presence and his word, but on his works. Verse 8 to 9. Look at verse 8 in your Bible. Come and see. It's an invitation, right? What the Lord has done. The desolations he has brought on the earth. Verse 9, he makes war cease. He breaks the bow. He burns the shields with fire. He. Not me. I remember maybe one of the first children's sermon here about 10 commandments, maybe. I remember, gimme. You remember? Gimme. We love I, me, right? No. Verse 8, 9, And these images evoke a battlefield. This emphasis is tied to the refrain of the psalm in verses 7 and 11. The Lord Almighty is with us. Unfortunately, the NIV interprets and somewhat obscures the more straightforward Hebrew term, Yahweh Sabaoth, as we sung, which means, as ESV translates, the Lord of hosts is with us. The Lord of heaven's armies, in the NLT. So it's entirely possible that the psalmist wrote this word after witnessing the miraculous defeat of the Assyrian army in 2 Kings 19:35. Next. That night, the angel of the Lord went out and put to death 185,000 in the Assyrian camp. So with all that in mind, the psalm now takes an unexpected turn. Look at who speaks in verse 10. God himself says to you, be still. Verse 10, be still and know that I am God. It's first person singular. This is my wife's favorite verse from our 4 years here at Wheaton. And if there were a coffee mug verse tournament, this one and Philippians 3 would make the finals, right? But what does be still mean? Robert Alter, a Hebrew scholar, suggests, let go and know that I am God. R.C. Sproul suggests, shut up. This verb, it means to relax one's grip on something. It might be an intention to cease and desist from armed struggle. To unclench the warrior fist. So God tells you today, open your hands. Stop clutching your weapon. Because the angel of the Lord takes care of that. Let go, shut up, of those false security systems, the illusions of control. And the refuges that promise stability but cannot sustain you in sickness, loss, or pain. So God says to you, I will take care of your fears. Open your hands and know that I am God. Brothers, from this side of the cross, Jesus Christ is that angel of the Lord, the one who defeated the devil, sin, hell, and death by giving his life as a living sacrifice. Our Lord of hosts came down from heaven as a warrior. That's beautiful. And became our ever-present help in trouble, opening the throne of grace and mercy. Wow. He said, in effect, Father, I will go to the battlefield for them. Jesus Christ was that David who said, I go for my people. I pay the price, not you. I shed my blood so that you may come and see and now and know that I am God. That's Jesus Christ. So draw near. Draw near with confidence to the throne of grace to receive mercy and grace to help you in your time of need. That's a real refuge. Awesome. That's what we need in time of trouble. Jesus Christ, our Lord. So, brother, we are not secure. Again, my summary, my long summary, right? Brothers, we are not secure because we have control. In North America, that's almost a sin, right? Because you have to. If you don't have control, you are devastated, right? We are secure not because we have control or understanding. We are secure even though we are weak, imperfect, and short-sighted. We are secure for one reason and one reason alone, because of God. Because He is a fortress in the midst of a fallen world, and because His Son has won the battle for us, shedding His blood, the righteous for the unrighteous, bearing our sin, nailing into the cross, and declaring His victory and our forgiveness and justification once and for all, so that He alone may be exalted among the nations. He, not us, not us. So I finish here. Let me suggest 5 God-centered ways to respond in troubles amid this world. First, adjust your expectations. We have a sickness. Maybe, I don't know how to say it in English. Amnesia? Amnesia. We woke up every morning with amnesia. We struggle again with the same sin, with the same expectations, every morning, every day. We live in a fallen world, but we forgot that every day. That's important. We live in a fallen world, hostile to God. There will be suffering. There will be. Second, run toward God and toward His voice. Instead of meditate on all the false promises that this world offers you, power, fame, money, control, competence, and influence, meditate on His love, mercy, grace, patience, faithfulness, gentleness, wisdom, power, forgiveness, and kindness. The problem may not be a contradiction, the problems may not be a contradiction of His character, but rather a demonstration of them. Third, remember the defeat of every human kingdom. The mountains fall, the kingdoms fall. United States will fall, but the city of God will not fall. Four, look up the eternal and joyful city of God. At the center of that city, there is a throne. None of us will sit on it. Jesus Christ, the King of glory, will. And finally, keep silent and exalt Him. Waiting is hard, right? Because we live in a culture obsessed with efficiency and productivity. But we forget the most important, essential, beautiful, and lasting things in our lives are precisely those over which we have no control and which take time. I wonder what would a modern American senior citizen have done if he were in Abraham's shoes waiting for a promised child. Romans 4 tells us, against all hope, Abraham in hope believed, without weakening in his faith. Yet he did not waver through unbelief regarding the promise of God, but he strengthened in his faith and gave glory to God, being fully persuaded that God hath power to do what He hath promised. Let's pray. God, You are God. You are seated in Your throne, not us. This beautiful psalm is full of You, not us. You came. You are an ever-present help in trouble. We praise You, God, because You open Your throne of mercy and grace to exalt Your Son, Your Holy Son, Jesus. In His name we pray. Amen.